Well, let's read together from God's Word as we find it in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 12 to 17. 1 Timothy chapter 12, chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. This is the word. Well, please do keep that passage open there in front of you, because I'd like us to think together this morning about verses 15 to 17 of that chapter in particular. Important truths are often framed in proverbs. It's a good teaching tool. It's a good aid to memory. Things that need to be remembered are put into a catchy and memorable form. I before E, except after C helps you with your spelling. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, and I'm sure that we could think of many, many, many other sayings and proverbs along those lines. And it's interesting that God often does the same thing in the Bible. In fact, we have a whole book of proverbs, a whole book of pithy, memorable sayings. It's why we have the Psalms in the form that they are, these poetic songs which are easier to remember than long chunks of prose writing. And of the Psalms, many of the Psalms are acrostic Psalms. They begin with a different, the successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And again, the reason for that is not just because it's pretty to look at or clever, but because it makes it easier to remember. And we have an example of that here in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, because this is one of five trustworthy sayings, pithy, memorable, catchy phrases that sum up a really important truth. There are five of these in the New Testament, and they're found in 1 and 2 Timothy and in Titus. And I thought that for our drive-in services for the next few weeks, we would take some time to look at these trustworthy sayings. B.B. Warfield, one of the greatest theologians of the last century, said this about these trustworthy sayings. He said they are sayings in which the essence of the gospel is crystallized by those who have tasted and seen its preciousness. They are sayings in which the essence of the gospel is crystallized by those who have tasted and seen its preciousness. In other words, behind each of these five trustworthy sayings, we should think of a whole generation of Christians reflecting on the truths of the gospel, talking about the gospel, discussing it, honing and shaping these sayings so that they sum up the truths of the gospel as precisely and as succinctly and as memorably as they possibly can. And perhaps none of these five sayings sums up the gospel more concisely and beautifully than this one. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. This saying is trustworthy, Paul says. He endorses it as a faithful presentation of God's message. He says you can stake the destiny of your never-dying soul upon these words. It's so different from the nonsense that was being spouted by the false teachers at Ephesus, where Timothy was ministering, with their obsession with difficult doctrines and myths and genealogies. Here is something different. Here is something trustworthy. Here is something worthy of your belief and your time. It sums up the essence of the gospel, the reason why Christ came into the world. And I wanted to look at this trustworthy saying with you under three headings, although we'll spend most of our time on the first one. First of all, we have here the salvation Christ provided. The salvation Christ provided. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And as you would expect with a trustworthy saying like this, every single word counts. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus, the Son of God. This wasn't staffed out to an angel or to a prophet. God himself, the second person of the Godhead, took flesh and came into the world to save sinners. No one else in all the universe was able to do this work. It had to be Christ Jesus. It had to be him, the God-man. It had to be a man who could stand in the place of men, who could live the life that we are supposed to live but can't. A man who could die the death that we deserved, the debt that we can't pay. Only a man could stand in the place of men. And yet only God could atone for all sins of all his people in the space of those 3 hours of darkness on the cross. And that's why salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. That's why there's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we're told that he came into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? He left the glory and the comfort of heaven. He left behind perfect fellowship with his Father and with the Spirit. He left behind those hosts of angels who serve and worship him night and day. All of that would be remarkable enough in itself if he were leaving to go somewhere pleasant. But he wasn't. He left all of this behind, we're told, and took the very form of a servant. He was born to a very, very poor couple. He was laid in a manger at his birth. Why? Why would he leave heaven to come into the world of all places? This ugly, fallen world of sin and rebellion and curse. This dangerous and hostile and unbelieving world full of sin. Why would he do this? Why would the Lord of the universe humble himself to experience hunger and thirst and tiredness and temptation and suffering and rejection and mockery and insults and unbelief and the excruciating death of the cross? And then, most terrible of all, the infinite wrath of God, the curse of being the sin bearer. Why would he do that? Why would he leave heaven and come into the world to experience all of this? Well, this saying gives us the answer, doesn't it? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. It was a rescue mission. That's why he came. And this phrase is the most astonishing of all. The word sinners here in the original language is very emphatic. He came into the world sinners to save, is literally what it says. In other words, the Son of Man didn't leave heaven and come to earth for good people or for innocent people. He came for sinners. He came from heaven into this world for God-hating rebels. And he came in order to save them from their sins. Because left to ourselves, we're going to suffer the most horrific fate that you could possibly imagine. The everlasting torment of hell. Jesus could have stayed in heaven. He wasn't under any obligation to save us. We didn't even want to be saved. We didn't want God to come near to us. In fact, quite the opposite. We wanted him to stay away. We wanted him to leave us alone. We didn't want to have anything to do with God. We deserve to be condemned. But that's not where God left us. Because he is rich in mercy, Jesus came into the world to save us. He didn't come into the world to help good people get to heaven. He didn't come into the world to teach nice, decent people how they could improve upon their lives and live even better lives. He didn't come in response to an invitation pleading with him to come down and to meet with us. No, he came to people who had rejected him, who wanted nothing to do with him. He came for sinners. It's a rescue mission. That's why he came. You imagine a building that is engulfed in flames. The fire is spreading rapidly to all the floors of the building. And a man gets out of his vehicle and he climbs in through one of the windows where there are no flames leaping out. It's a dangerous, potentially fatal thing to do. He could stay outside in the fresh air, where his life is safe, where there is no danger at all of suffocating on the toxic smoke. There's no danger at all outside of his body being burned. He could sit at his ease, sipping a cup of coffee and reading his newspaper. What could possibly motivate that man to leave safety and comfort and enter into a place of such lethal danger and destruction, such an unpleasant environment? Well, he goes in because he's a fireman. And there are people inside that need to be rescued. There are people inside that building and they're going to die a horrific death unless he goes into that place of death and destruction and brings them out. They're not able to save themselves. He needs to go in and get them and bring them to safety. And that's what Jesus Christ has done. He came into the world to save sinners. I wonder, do you realize that you are a sinner? Do you know you deserve the judgment of God because you haven't loved him and you haven't worshipped him as you should? Do you understand that you need desperately to be rescued? Well, here's the good news. Here's the best news in the world. Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. You qualify. You're a sinner. You're the very reason that he was born in Bethlehem and died at Golgotha. You say to yourself, well, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. That's the point. Jesus came into the world sinners to save. Bad people who are not good enough, who can't save themselves. You say, I don't deserve to be saved. Of course you don't deserve to be saved. None of us do, because we're sinners. That's why we need to be saved. You don't need to be saved unless you're in dire trouble. We can't rescue ourselves. Christ needs to rescue us. And that's what he came into the world to do. And it may be that you're a Christian this morning and you're bowed down with a sense of your sin and your failure. You're terribly discouraged because you're a sinner. Because you've committed terrible sins. Remember this trustworthy saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he does save sinners. And if you've cried out to him for salvation, then he saved you. He saves all that he sets out to save. The tragedy is that rescue workers aren't always able to save the people that they try to help. They do their best, but sometimes they get there too late. Sometimes they make mistakes. Sometimes the problem is just too overwhelming and people die. Well, that doesn't happen with Jesus. The way that the verb is written here, it means that Jesus saves fully and completely. He doesn't come to help sinners to make their way to heaven, to point them in the right direction, to try to convince them that heaven is a good idea, that it's one possible option for them to consider. No, he actually saves them. He brings them all the way to safety. He lifts their helpless bodies, as it were, and carries them out of danger. Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners, to save completely. The salvation Christ provides. Then secondly, more briefly, we see here too the salvation Paul experienced. The salvation Paul experienced. What Paul has been saying here sounds wonderful, doesn't it? God himself came into the world to save sinners. But can we be sure? Do we have an actual concrete example of this rescue operation working out in practice? It sounds like a lovely idea in theory, but does it work? Or is it only certain kinds of sinner that Jesus is able to save? Only those that aren't too bad? only sinners who've only committed minor sins. Well, Paul says here, I can testify that it works. I can assure you, 100% guarantee you that God saves sinners. Why? Because he saved me. And he doesn't just save reasonably good sinners, because I was the worst of the lot of them. And if God can save me, he's saying, then he can save anyone. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I myself am the worst. You remember what Paul said about himself in verse 13. He describes himself as a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent of Jesus Christ. He says that he did all that he could to try to destroy the church. He thought that he was doing God's will, but he did it. Listen to his own words in Acts 26, verses 9 to 11. He says, I was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many times I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. If Jesus Christ could save Paul, then he can save anyone. He came to save sinners, even the very worst sinner that you can imagine. There really is no sin that is too awful to be forgiven. And I don't say that lightly, because some sins are very, very evil. And we mustn't minimize this. We mustn't dress it up in sentimental religious waffle. Jesus saves even the very worst of sinners. That's what Paul is saying here. Some years ago, I read the book by Henry Gerecka, The Cross and the Swastika. Henry Gerecka was an American Lutheran pastor who served as chaplain to many of the Nazi leaders who were tried for their war crimes at Nuremberg. And this pastor spent a year with 15 of the most hated men in the world, some of whom were guilty of the most unspeakable atrocities. And Gerecka writes very honestly about how frightened he was by his assignment. He says, because of the nature of their crimes, their connection with the absolute depths of evil, the thought of speaking to these men, being in the same room as these men, made him shudder. But he presented the gospel to these disciples of Adolf Hitler. And over the course of that year, several of those men professed faith in Jesus Christ. Now, only God knows if those professions were true and if those men are in heaven today. But were those men, those evil men, those Nazi war criminals, were they too bad to be saved? Not according to our text. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even the worst of sinners. Here's Paul, who persecuted Christians to their death, who tried to devour and ravage the church like a wild animal, and yet God saved him. And if Christ could save Paul, then he can save anyone. The salvation that Christ provided, the salvation that Paul experienced, and lastly, just as we finish, the salvation that God offers. The salvation that God offers. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul himself, of all people, has experienced that salvation. But perhaps Paul was a special case. Perhaps he's an exception. After all, God went on to do wonderful things through Paul. But can I be sure, little me, and all the things that I have done, a little ordinary man or woman or boy or girl like me, can I be sure that Jesus will save me the way that he saved Paul? Well, look at what Paul goes on to say in verse 16. I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Paul is an example. We see in the way that God treated Paul how he deals with every believer. This word that's translated example is used of a rough outline sketch. It's the kind of thing an architect might do at a first meeting with a client. Just a rough outline sketch, just to give an idea of what the finished building will be like. And Paul is saying here that we're meant to look at his experience. We're meant to look and see what God did in him and in his life, and see in outline what he will do in us. It's an outline sketch. Not all the details are the same. God dealt with Paul in some unique ways. We're not all to expect a blinding flash of light and a voice from heaven while we're walking along the road. But in essentials, Paul's experience is the experience of every believer. Everyone who cries out to Jesus Christ for salvation receives his perfect patience. Just as Paul received mercy, they receive mercy. Just as Paul was given eternal life, we are given eternal life. Paul's conversion is a standing source of hope to otherwise hopeless cases. So what about you this morning? This saying, what we've been thinking about this morning, it's trustworthy. You can believe it. It's absolutely true. But more than that, it says that it is deserving of full acceptance. Full acceptance. In other words, the most complete and wholehearted acceptance possible. You are to lay hold of this truth for yourself. This is not just some wise, clever proverb to admire from a distance. This is meant to change your life, if it hasn't already. You're meant to believe it, obviously, but you're meant to act upon it. You're meant to do what it requires. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, like Paul, like me, like you. And if you haven't received that salvation yet, then now is the time to do that. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Amen. Well, let's bow in prayer together. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this trustworthy saying. We thank you for preserving it in this memorable way. Christ Jesus came into the world sinners to save. And we thank you, Lord God, that so many of us have experienced what this saying speaks of. Thank you that we have experienced this rescue. Thank you that Jesus has come to each of us and changed us and brought us from hell and is bringing us to heaven. We pray, Heavenly Father, for any who are here today or listening to this message who are still bound for hell, who are still trapped, as it were, in that burning building. And we pray that this very day the Lord Jesus would come into their lives and change them and save them. Help us, Lord, to do our part in telling others this wonderful good news. Please don't let us keep it to ourselves. Let's please share this trustworthy saying with everyone we meet. Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to save. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.